Welcome to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Duane Sparks, author of Action Selling, How to Sell Like a Professional, Even If You Think You Are One. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives, and I would like to welcome you to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Duane Sparks, author of Action Selling, How to Sell Like a Professional, Even If You Think You Are One. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag articles found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, Duane Sparks, chairman and founder of the Sales Board, shares with us his insights on action selling, a method for establishing and building business relationships, enabling sales professionals to better engage their clients and understand and meet their clients' needs, resulting in greater client value and increased sales. So now, without any further delay, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by Duane Sparks, author of Action Selling, How to Sell Like a Professional, Even If You Think You Are One, and chairman and founder of the Sales Board, an organization of sales management and training professionals who teach the critical selling skills that have the greatest impact on gaining customer commitment. For more than two decades, Duane and his organization have trained sales professionals in the use of his action selling method, certifying over 350,000 salespeople in more than 3,000 organizations. These individuals and their companies have subsequently realized a dramatic increase in sales, resulting in six times the revenue increase of similar firms. Duane, welcome back to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
Thank you, Nathan. Glad to be back with you.
I am thrilled to have you back on the show. And just to give our listeners a small sneak peek, they're in for an exceptional treat because this is the first of a series of five podcasts that we'll do covering all five of the action selling, I'll say series of books, with, of course, this one covering action selling first. So really excited to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Nathan.
Duane, to start out with, your book, Action Selling, is a story about a sales professional named Matt and his new boss named Joe. You've successfully written a training book by telling an engaging story about these two sales guys. How did you come up with this format for your book?
The format for the book is in story form, and I know that for myself, and I think most salespeople, maybe even most people, we would prefer to hear stories rather than gobs of information.
Mm-hmm.
Business books traditionally are a lot of information, and they can be kind of dry. But myself, in particular, I've enjoyed reading story formats. I recall The One-Minute Manager or Who Moved My Cheese. You know, those are a couple of examples of books that were written in story form that, you know, they were fun to read, and I enjoyed them, and, you know, I got something out of them. I read them cover to cover. So I think the story format is, you know, preferred, at least by people like myself, over a textbook.
I agree, and I think the audience knows that my preference really truly is a business novel story formatted book, because for me, I'm kind of a visual learner, and to be in the story and sitting there witnessing how, in this case, the action selling process is executed, what people are thinking, just that dynamic just makes things so much clearer to me. and it makes the process very real and personal. And I learn a lot better that way.
I think in the case of salespeople, you know, Joe is the manager and Matt is the salesperson, and Matt makes some mistakes, and unfortunately, a lot of my readers fall into the category of Matt, and they see themselves making the same mistakes that he's making, and they start to connect with, you know, some pain that Matt is feeling in the book. And Joe, fortunately, he's a good old Joe, and he has been through the action selling training, so he has some insight. And the way he goes about helping Matt become more successful, it's a very happy story. So I hope your listeners decide to pick up the book and have fun with it like I know you have.
Yeah, and I certainly have. I've gotten a lot of benefit out of it. And, you know, to be honest, I'm applying what I'm learning with the action selling process in my own line of work. So it's not only very real to me, but it's helping me be more successful in my professional life as well. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Dwayne, in action selling, just right up front, you define the selling of goods and services as a profession, which I find unique from the other books that I read. Would you describe for our audience what makes selling a profession?
Be happy to. Well, I ask myself the question, can selling be a genuine profession, you know, like a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, or is it just an occupation? Now, I looked at what professions have. They have rules. They have recognized patterns. They have bodies of knowledge that can be taught and then put to use proactively with predictable results. Now, selling skills, on the other hand, are usually presented as a collection of reactive tips or tricks or techniques that are responses to various things that a prospect or a customer might say or do. In my opinion, when selling is viewed as a process, it has the opportunity to become a profession. That's the key. It needs to be a process, and it needs to be to take the body of knowledge that's available and fit it into a procedure.
Yes, and that has really helped me, as you know, you have translated action selling and made the profession of selling into that procedure that I could recognize and follow. So, kind of an extension then of that. If the profession of selling does have rules and recognizable patterns, a body of knowledge, a procedure that can be taught, and then those that learn it can proactively use it to generate very predictable results, why do so many salespeople have a challenge then with recognizing that and executing on it?
Well, the answer to that is that they don't see it as a process. They don't understand that buyers go through a decision process. So when selling is approached as a bona fide profession, you know, what we found that using research, you know, research on how buyers buy, and structuring our sales process to match up with the sequence of the decisions that buyers make, selling can become far more predictable, and we can improve our success using a procedure. All buyers, regardless of their temperaments or their personalities, make the same series of decisions. And if you start with that predictable pattern and build your body of knowledge and your skills around it, you have the opportunity to become more professional at the business of selling.
Okay. And Dwayne, you've mentioned, and it's all throughout action selling, the concept that underlying the sales process is that fundamental way that people go about making the buying decision. And you've described it as a series of five unique buying decisions that comprise the overall purchase decision someone makes. Would you describe for our audience those buying decisions and the sequence that accompanies them?
Yes, I will, Nathan. There's a progression. The first buying decision that customers make is about the salesperson. And the verdict about the salesperson hinges on things like, do I like you? Do I trust you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you honest, credible, and knowledgeable? That's the first buying decision relative to the salesperson. Second buying decision is relative to the company that the salesperson represents. Is your company a good match for mine? Is it known for the kinds of things that I expect from a supplier? The third buying decision is about the product. Which of my problems will your product solve? Will your product create new opportunities for me? Does it match my needs? How does it stack up against the competition? The third buying decision is about the price of your product or service. Is it a good value compared to competitive offerings? What must I invest in terms of time, money, training, hassle to get the benefits that your product promises? And is it worth the investment? And the fifth and final decision concerns the time to buy. How soon do I need to make up my mind? When do I need the results of the product? And customers ask themselves, should I stall? So
okay.
The buying decision is the time to buy. Now, all of these decisions take place in the course of any major purchase decision that's being made. And they're always made in a specific sequence. First, salesperson, then company, then product, then price, and then time to buy.
Okay. And Dwayne, kind of following on from that, could you describe the action selling process and in particular focusing on how it relates to the buyer's decision-making process?
Certainly. The action selling process has nine acts or steps.
Mm-hmm.
The first and the last act occur before and after the sales interaction. So there's seven of them that occur during a sales call. Now, one or more of these acts of action selling matches up with one of the five buying decisions. The acts of action selling follow the sequence of those five buying decisions. And when customers are deciding about the salesperson, as an example, we need to be doing things that help them make that decision. Now, I don't know how long ago you were trained in sales, but for me it was several years ago. And what I was taught first was the first thing you do when you meet with a customer is you begin to tell them about your company. So the problem with that is if the first buying decision is about the salesperson and you're talking about your company, they're making a decision with the wrong information. So in that case, people will begin to look for reasons not to buy as opposed to reasons to buy.
Okay.
So when the decision is about the salesperson, you need to be doing the kinds of things that help them make a positive decision about yourself and not talking about other things that might keep them from making a positive decision about you.
Okay. As you've described that, it's interesting as I reflect on the lessons in selling that I have received. It's always been essentially show the client your resume and move on. And we show the client a personal resume, a resume of the company, and go right to the product and skip those parts of the decision process and not develop those. Sales training, to move forward then, is all about improving the skills of the salesperson. What are the most important skills for effectiveness in selling?
Nathan, we've done a lot of research on this topic, and being in the sales training business, it's very important for us to understand not only what skills can be improved, meaning they can be taught and learned, but also how can we measure improvement in learning and correlate it to improvement in selling, sales effectiveness. And what we found through our research is there are five, what we call them critical selling skills.
Okay.
Five skills that were above and beyond all other skills. When these were improved, they had the greatest impact on performance change. I'll tell you what they are. The first one was the skill of managing the buyer-seller relationship. A little bit about what we've talked about before, understanding how buyers buy and having a sales process that matches up with those buying decisions, you know, those incremental buying decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Salespeople that understand that better than others and have a process for doing that are far more effective. The second key skill, or critical selling skill, has to do with sales call planning. I read something just today. A research company said that only one salesperson out of six was rated as having a well-planned sales call. So that leaves five out of six of us that are not doing a very good job of planning our sales interactions. Now, my feeling is it's something in that range. We need a lot of help in planning sales calls and having the right kind of objective set for each and every sales situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Third and critical, most critical skill is questioning skills. In my opinion, questioning, or the question, is the most important tool in the salesperson's tool bag. Questioning is something that salespeople, 85% of salespeople, in my opinion, ask the wrong type of question, and they do not ask enough questions, and that causes them to have problems or resistance occur during their sales calls. The fourth skill is presentation skills, and what I mean by that is connecting what you hear from asking questions to what you have in your product that resolves the need, and making that connection clear and crisp. Not presenting everything there is to know about your product or service, but presenting only those things that satisfy needs that were agreed on with the customer.
Okay.
And the fifth skill is gaining commitment. Because we're good at gaining commitment, that's why our companies, you know, our employers value us. In my opinion, most salespeople even rate themselves poor at gaining commitment, or the skill that they need the most improvement in. It's ironic because that's why companies hire us, because we're good at that, but that's where we rate ourselves the lowest. So those are the five skills: managing buyer-seller relationship, sales call planning, questioning skills, presentation skills, and gaining commitment.
Okay. Now, Dwayne, action selling spent a lot of time and focused on the salesperson selling his or herself. Could you describe for us how a salesperson actually accomplishes this?
Okay, good question. It's really not whipping out your resume and showing them all the things that you know how to do.
Yeah.
What it is...
Yeah, that doesn't work for me so well.
No, it didn't really work, did it?
No.
Most important to do, and this is most important to do early in the selling situation, because that's the first buying decision. So it's critical that we do this early in the sales process. And we do it, secondly, we do it on every sales call. If this is the 100th call you've made on that same person, you still need to sell yourself.
Okay.
And the reason for that is, in every sales interaction, customers become either more sold or less sold on you. There's no middle ground. It just doesn't ever stay the same. It becomes either more or less. So you have to focus attention on this. How do we do that? Well, the primary skill that we use to sell ourselves is the question. As I mentioned earlier, most of us are not good at that, and we need to dramatically improve the use of questions. So these key skills help us be a better listener. Mm-hmm. They help us demonstrate our interest in the customer by letting them do the talking and us do the listening. And they allow us to be more professional. We will uncover more important information that we can use later in the sales call. We'll uncover resistance so we can deal with it early rather than late. Sometimes it's too late to deal with it if we uncover it too late. And generally, we become a consultant to the customer, a consultant with a purpose. So we accomplish commitment objectives during the call. We gain commitment from them, but we do it in a friendly way by first understanding and later presenting solutions.
Okay. All right. Now, Dwayne, if I was to hop to kind of the last or later stages of the selling process, once commitment has been gained from the client, they often suffer from, I think, what's commonly referred to as buyer's remorse. What does the action selling process have salespeople do to address this issue?
Three things. First, we must assure the customer that they've made a good decision.
Okay.
Secondly, we want to tell the customer how much we appreciate their business and their decision. And third and most importantly, we need to schedule a future event for the customer to begin focusing on. And this will take some of the pressure off the decision that was just made. Can I tell you a quick story about this, Nathan?
Sure, sure.
You know, we talked earlier about the importance of stories. Years ago, my wife and I went to buy a piano. My wife's a pianist. She plays well, and she loves doing it. So we went to a showroom, and the salesperson there, the saleswoman, did a wonderful job of working with us and helping us make a commitment on a piano. In fact, we overcommitted. Instead of buying a baby grand piano, we bought a concert grand piano.
Oh, wow.
It was a monster, the kind of thing you'd see in Carnegie Hall, and the kind of thing that Liberace would have his candle sitting on top. It's a beautiful instrument. It cost a fortune, and it was more than we could afford.
Okay.
The minute I signed that sales contract, I started thinking about how in the world can I get out of this? But something happened at that point that was remarkable. The saleswoman led us, you know, out of the showroom and into the warehouse area, and we met a couple guys. These were the guys that were going to deliver the piano. Burly men, you know, they were two strong men. So they began asking me questions about the logistics. You know, where is it? You know, tell me about your house. What room will the piano go in? What level of the house is that? Bigger the doors. Tell me about any stairways that we'll have to negotiate. And, you know, it dawns on me that moving that piano into our house was going to be a serious challenge, even for these two strong men.
Yes.
And I got pretty much absorbed in helping them figure out how to attack this problem. You know, Nathan, I knew all about Act 8, confirm the sale or deal with buyer's remorse. But it wasn't until we left and we were driving away in the car from that showroom that I realized what I had just experienced is the power of scheduling the future event. It took my mind away from the decision that I had just made, and it focused me on, you know, what is it going to be like when these two men are carrying that piano up the hill, across the deck, over the bridge, and through the entryway into the room the piano was going to be in.
Yes.
So, you know what? I forgot about that, and I began to focus on this. You know, I was committed not only to buying the piano, but to installing the piano. And my buyer's remorse went away.
Wow.
So I think that that's an example of what we can do as salespeople. Take them from the decision that they just made to the next event and schedule it and discuss it and plan for it. Take
wow.
the mind off of what we've just done and on to the experience of getting your product.
Wow, absolutely. That is a great example. That is a great example. Well, Dwayne, I want to thank you not only for sharing your time with us today, but your insights on action selling. As I mentioned before, I have really thoroughly enjoyed action selling, not just for the depth of insight that you shared, but because of the unique perspective of the salesperson and in action selling, the coach, that you present within your book in the business novel format. I found that that literally placed me in the characters' minds, and it gave me a perspective and an understanding of the process and the decisions that people went through that I just had not had before. It helped me not only to understand that there is a process and a better way of selling, but, you know, it also helped me understand better about my own buying decisions and the processes I go through, and I can recognize how I'm being guided into a decision or making a purchasing decision now better for myself. I'd like to highly recommend action selling to all our listeners, but more importantly, I hope that they'll take the action selling process and that they will implement it, because I know that they'll be much more successful when they do so. Just so our audience knows, they can get a copy of Action Selling on your website, which is www.actionselling.com. So, Dwayne, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Nathan. I hope that I've been helpful to you and to your listeners.
Oh, I know you have. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would like to personally thank Dwayne Sparks for being with us today and sharing his insights on action selling. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. You can find more information about Dwayne Sparks and Action Selling at www.actionselling.com and www.thesalesboard.com. Until next time, so long.